off and running with a brand new Village Vice, and we are Zachless today. That means only one out of the last three shows have had both Zach and me. As spring like rolls in and we got to get on the same page. No, Zach is headed to campus. He's going to have a lot of coverage of practice and player interviews and stuff like that for you today. So we have Jacob Hillman pinch hitting, and he brought his earbuds today.
No echo.
Listen to that. How clean does that sound?
How about that?
Yeah.
Technically, I think it was you echoing Brad by fault of me. So I just want to put that out there. Just
yeah, it was 50. No, it was a 50-50 echo blame for sure. it was shared fault.
Absolutely.
Okay. Defensive line is our subject today. Defensive line. Auburn was good on the defensive line last year, but it lost key players. Malik Blockton is one that would have made a big difference on this team. Obviously, Keldrick Falk, maybe the best run-stopping edge guy that's going to go in the draft, going to play a long time in the NFL. So let's start with the guy who coaches this group, Jacob, and that is, if you point to strengths and why this defensive line could be great, Vontrell King-Williams is where you start.
Absolutely, and you look at when retaining this coaching staff and this roster, Alex Golish made it a point to keep DJ Durkin as the defensive coordinator, and that leads to a guy like Vontrell King-Williams coming back as well and leading this defensive line that's been developing consistently over the last few years under his guidance, and that's just been something that I don't think I quite expected when he was elevated to this role. I figured he would be good, but I think he's certainly he's exceeded my expectations, and I feel like a lot of other Auburn fans. He was relatively unknown when taking over that role, and I mean he went from just kind of a random staffer to defensive tackles coach, and now he's the whole defensive lines coach. And whether it's the recruiting or the actual development, it's proven itself over these past few years.
Yeah. How do you stop the run in the SEC? You have a stout defensive line. You have guys to, you know, shed blocks and keep the pads low, and they're good with their hands and they're good with their feet, and they have gap integrity. That's how you stop the run with guys up front who can do that. Auburn was third against the run a year ago. Auburn averaged under 100 yards a game allowed on the ground, 99 yards and change. The two teams that finished better than Auburn in that stat were Oklahoma and Georgia. What did they do in December and January?
They played in the college football playoff.
They were in the playoff. And it's interesting. There's no one metric, I don't think, that's pretty universal, especially now that the playoff is, you know, 12 and it's going to go to more eventually. Like, there's not just going to be one metric, but if you look at the teams that were good against the run, what were the SEC teams that were in the playoff last year? Okay. Oklahoma, Georgia, Texas gave up 103 yards a game. They were fifth. Alabama was in the top half against the run. Texas A&M and Ole Miss, you know, Ole Miss was a little further down. Ole Miss gave up 149 yards a game. They were also on the field more as a defense.
Right.
Because of how explosive that offense was.
Well, and it was interesting because I think that's a valid comparison for this Auburn team, considering what we expect out of Coach Golish and Coach Gordon and the rest of this offensive staff. And yeah. I thought Ole Miss found a pretty fair balance last year, because the talk of the Rebels was how much improved its defense was. And part of that being why Pete Golding was elevated to a head coach when Lane Kiffin ditched him on the side of the road. And I just think that that's kind of the comparison to look at. How can Auburn balance the high octane offense that it plans to utilize and fast pace and still have the top tier defense that, quite frankly, it's had over the last few years. It probably hasn't shown it because of other aspects that have been going on. But I just think that when you look deep down at it, like you have and seeing how important it is to any team in the SEC specifically to have an elite run defense, that's what you're going to have to find is the balance with this offense and now this defense when it might be on the field more than it has been in the past.
Yeah, looking at total defensive numbers from last year, Oklahoma was number one in the SEC, Georgia was number two, Alabama was number four, Texas was number six, A&M was eight, Ole Miss was nine at 21 points a game. Auburn was seventh at 20.67. It's like scoring, and that's what matters is scoring points, giving up points. You're talking about playoff-level teams that are allowing somewhere between two and three touchdowns a game, and that's it. If you're allowing more than three touchdowns a game, your chances of making the playoffs plummet somewhere between two and three. Now, that's not a big margin, and that's why we talk about a couple of guys make the difference. A couple of first downs, a couple of third down conversions make the difference. And what puts you in tough to convert third downs? Stopping the run on first down or second down, putting them in third and long, and then getting to the pass rush. So let's talk about strengths. Give me one or two strengths of the defensive line. We can go interior or we can go edge. Give me a couple of strengths in your opinion first.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think when you look at the edge rushers, you've got a couple of impact guys that one, you got the impact transfer in Deshaun Womack. Then you've got guys like Jared Smith, Joe Phillips, and J.J. Falk is another one that obviously related to Keldrick. Yeah. That I've heard a lot of noise out of spring camp so far. And I just think with how much buzz there is there, I have to go with the edge rushers. And especially with the way Coach King Williams has developed them over the last few years. Jalen McLeod is a guy in his first season really coaching guys up. And then obviously we know all about Keldrick Falk and how talented he is and what he's shown in his Auburn career. But I just think that Womack is going to be the guy coming from an Ole Miss defense that we just talked about. And I think one of Falk, Phillips, and Smith, it's time for them to step up and really kind of back up Womack and kind of be that guy, whether it's on the other side or just in those times that Womack needs a rest, because we've seen how important it is for Auburn. I mean, just go all the way back. You look at Antonio Coleman before 2010. You look at D Ford in 2013, Jeff Holland in 2017, and there's so many other names. It's always important to have an elite edge rusher. Yeah.
I like that you went with the edge because I'm going to go to the interior for mine. And I'm very high on Jordan Crawford, and I'm very high on Malik Autry. These are huge guys. They're still young, but we talk about, you know, VKW, Coach King Williams. I think he's earned the equity, like he's earned the belief and the trust that these guys are going to develop and mature. But I'm not going to pick those young guys as my strength. I like that Dallas Walker is back. Did he blow you away with stats last year? No, he had 13 tackles. 13 tackles. You know what? He's a big space eater up front. You don't need him to have 45 tackles in the game. You need him to take on double teams. You need him to take up the space and not be moved so that Xavier Atkins and Elijah Melendez and Bryce Diaz and these other linebackers can shoot through and make the stops. So Dallas Walker being a veteran coming back in this offense, 6'3", 362. Ring the dang bell. This is a large human being, and he knows what to do in this offense. And then Cody Sigler, 6'2", 302. A veteran, he's back in his home state, and he is drawing rave reviews in the spring. Golish praised him like crazy over the weekend. He's one of the standouts on the defensive front. And again, a guy who's hungry, a guy who's worked hard to earn this opportunity, physical, fast twitch kind of guy. I really am looking forward to seeing Cody Sigler on the field in an Auburn jersey.
So that's not to mention that it's looking like Chris Murray is going to make his return as well with extra eligibility, and that's more of an edge guy, but I still think that's going to make a huge impact as a total just a veteran guy on that defensive line where you're hoping a lot of guys can really develop and pick it up that are young.
Yeah, questions on the defensive front coming up after we remind you that Roback is where you can go. Man, you want to look sharp and upgrade that wardrobe for spring and for summer. That hoodie right there that handsome young man is wearing in the picture, you can have it at roback.com. Promo code BARN20 gets you 20% off. Their polos, their hoodies, their vests, their accessories, their hats, their quarter zips. You want to get on the golf course. Jacob, I know you're an avid golfer. Love being on the golf course. Don't you play better when you wear Roback?
Always do. I mean, it's when you feel good, you play good, and that definitely is valid for golfing.
R-H-O-B-A-C-K, roback.com. Promo code BARN20 gets you 20% off everything. Go check it out. Okay, one or two questions about the defensive line, Jacob, in the 4 or 5 minutes we have left.
Yeah, I think it goes back to what I discussed is how they are going to handle potentially being on the field for a lot of the time. And Coach Golish has talked about it, and he's been asked about it, time of possession, how important that is to him. And he understands how important it is for a defense to be able to rest up on the sideline. And, you know, he's not looking to necessarily own the time of possession battle, but he also understands that there needs to be a fine balance. With that being said, I think the depth and how this team is able to be consistent. We've seen in the past, I go back to certain games where Auburn's defense is just locking a team down for 3.5 quarters. And then the end of that game, we've seen it over and over and over again where a team just drives down the field for 80-plus yards and 15 plays because it seems like the defense is gassed. And, Of course, you could chalk that up to a number of things, but that's what I want to see is a full 60 minutes from this defensive line week in, week out, no matter who the opponent is, and that's going to be kind of my biggest question mark, especially when you have games against Baylor and Florida and Vanderbilt in September. It's got to be locked in early on, and then especially when you get to that absolute gauntlet in October with those teams that you're facing then.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all about getting pressure on the quarterback from somebody other than Xavier Atkins. He led the team in sacks last year. I'm now at a point where I'm not questioning the interior. I like their ability to stand up against double teams, stand up against those blocks, win one-on-one battles. Again, not looking for a guy to have 40 tackles in that from those positions. What I do want to see is the edge rushers. And I look again at last year, and I look at the correlation between sacking the quarterback, creating explosive plays defensively from the edge position, and going to the playoff. Three teams had more than 40 sacks a year ago. Two of them went to the playoffs. Oklahoma, Texas A&M, and Texas all had more than 40. Texas barely missed the playoff. Oklahoma, Texas A&M were both there. And again, no one metric is the deciding is the one you point to, but all these things kind of have something in common. You know, Alabama was sixth in sacks. They had 33. Ole Miss had 33. Auburn had 30. Can you find a way to go from 30 to like 36? Can you get six more sacks from those edge rushers, whether it's Falk, whether it's Murray, whether it's Deshaun Womack, or whether it's Nate Johnson, the transfer in, Jared Smith? How explosive? We know he's talented. We know he's dynamite. Is the fuse going to be lit? Is he going to go off? Can you get seven sacks from Jared Smith this year? Is that realistic or is that too much?
I think Womack is kind of the guy you got to look at because I think Smith is certainly one with a lot of upside. But you look at Womack and just his SEC experience. Played 35 games between Ole Miss and LSU. Last year, played in all 15 games for Ole Miss with 27 tackles, two sacks. So, you know, if he's starting, how much can that number elevate? And, you know, it's interesting you mentioned Oklahoma sack numbers because about a quarter of those came in one game. But, you know, I digress. Sure. So
Texas A&M too, by the way.
Yeah, that's a good point. So it all tracks. I just think that really it's going to have to – I think one guy is going to have to lead the charge there, whether it's Womack or Smith or whoever it is, or J.J. Falk. I don't care, but one of those guys is going to have to really elevate their game and kind of become an all-SEC caliber player.
I think Smith has the Falk-like explosiveness. Like, yes. I think we talk way too much about unproven. Like the word unproven, I think we throw that around too much because at some point everybody's unproven. Like at some point, Keldrick was unproven.
Yes.
But we knew that. I'd rather be explosive and unproven than not explosive.
And Jared Smith, have an
When
you just have an upside like Keldrick Falk did and now Jared Smith does.
Sure.
There's going to be something that comes out of it. Is it going to be the first round grade that Keldrick Falk has? Maybe not, but you're at least going to get something out of it, and that might be five sacks a year.
Right. Yeah, he's a playmaker. He's going to make plays. It's what he does. All right, what do you think? Let us know in the comments. That's going to do it for today's show. Please subscribe if you haven't yet. Jacob, thank you very much for filling in. Tell us about the next Barn Hoops show. When is that coming up?
Yeah, we're going to post tomorrow as we are going to preview that Illinois State NIT semifinal game, kind of talk about even Elite Eight reaction, look around the country, and then obviously break down one new GM for Auburn basketball, and then kind of what to look ahead to for the transfer portal as that opens next Tuesday after the national championship game on Monday night. So it's going to be a full-on blitz for everyone in the country. So what is Auburn targeting, and kind of even around the SEC, what are going to be the keys there to having a successful transfer portal haul?
You're going to want to be locked into the Barn Hoop show here in the days and weeks to come for sure. He's Jacob. I'm Brad. Please remember, until next time, everyone has vices. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.